If we were to ask the Lord Jesus, what is truly your heart for us right now? He would say, I already said it to all of my disciples as I was there by the Sea of Galilee, not many days before I was ascended. And I said, go ye therefore and disciple every people group. That's it. And so discipleship, both in bringing people to Christ and then to bring them into a Christ life, is really what our life is all about. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, don't worry, we already planned well in advance. My message is two parts. The first part is this morning, and the second part is tonight, and we already knew how the timing would go. We did this on purpose because we felt it was very important to again help you understand the three different levels of discipleship and where you can be involved. And let me just say that there on your connection card, if you want to be discipled, you can just let us know that in any of these levels. So please, if you need that, and frankly, my burden is that everyone should be discipled and everyone should be discipling. And that should be a lifetime of ministry for us. William Kelly was an outstanding student of the Word of God. He had tremendous scholarship and a spiritual walk. It made him a great power for God in Great Britain at the close of the 1800s. He once helped a young relative prepare for Trinity College in Dublin. And those that saw what the preparation was and how well the student did encouraged Mr. Kelly to come to the college and take further work so he could distinguish himself. Well, Brother Kelly showed a complete lack of enthusiasm for their suggestion, and they were nonplussed. I mean, this was quite an honor for them to say that to him. One of them asked in exasperation, but Mr. Kelly, aren't you interested in making a name for you, for yourself in the world? To which he replied, which world, gentlemen? And that's the question we all have to ask ourselves. Which world are we going to distinguish ourselves? Certainly not us being distinguished, but have an impact that will last. I certainly admire people that are successful in this world. I appreciate the hard work, the ingenuity, the creativity, the dedication. But if that's all there is to life for a believer, that's a lost life. And there will be grief in heaven. But those who may distinguish themselves in this world have made it, though, their heart to have their number one purpose be to follow the heart of the Lord Jesus. Those will find great reward in heaven. It is eternal. You know, people like to audit courses, and that's a good thing. You get knowledge. Now, no student here at BCM gets to audit their course. They get the real deal. And but it's nice to get some learning. But, you know, basically, that's just getting a bunch of facts. But when you take the course and you go through a set of courses for an actual profession, you're going through a transformational process of the knowledge having to be put to use, oftentimes painfully. And we've got to get over the idea that discipleship is a teacher having a student audit the Word of God. It's far more than just learning the facts. It is a process, and I use it the word carefully, painful for both the discipler and the disciple. Because the disciple has to be walking with God and willing to invest and give of himself, and the disciple themselves have to learn to submit to the Lord, make the hard choices of faith. But if both the discipler and the disciple are looking to the Lord and are New Testament serious about what they're doing, great transformation will take forth, happen in both lives. And hundreds of people are affected for the Lord. The Apostle Paul, as I've often mentioned about this last epistle, was very much aware of what the church needed now after several decades of his leadership. God had used him mightily to start churches, and what a thrill to read 1 Thessalonians and to read the other epistles and see what God was doing, to follow through the book of Acts. But now he's sitting in prison for the second time. He knows that God's going to allow Nero to take his life. He knows that what he's writing here is going to be the last thing said. And it's like he goes back to, this is a football, gentlemen. This is what it is all about. One of the great dangers in the Christian life is we get ourselves too complicated. We've got to get back to the basics in what God wants us to do. And certainly you see that in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. Very well-known verses, but I want us to look at these as though we had never seen them before. And I'm going to read to start off with the first two verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, folks, I want you to get this. The Apostle Paul knew that at that time, the hundreds of thousands that had come to know Christ in the Gentile world had come on the basis of the truth of those two verses. It wasn't great organization. It wasn't all other kinds of methodology. It was a following of the commission that the Lord Jesus gave, believing God to do it and sacrificing to see it accomplished, depending upon him to do it. And those two verses are what transformed the New Testament world and have transformed any culture whenever there's been enough Christians that believe that to be true. First of all, we see here in the first verse, the key to this whole thing is to live the Christ life. We as disciples and disciples, but especially disciples, need to understand you cannot impart something you do not have. I have often said the problem with American Christianity, we have had lukewarm Christians disciple new believers into lukewarm Christians. Now thank the Lord for any discipleship that's gone on, but folks, the incomplete obedience, the domination of materialism, the skewed priorities, the lack of power, the performance acceptance that is so common in Christians' lives today, you take that person and they disciple someone else. Here you take a new Christian who were saved by faith and they're seeing miracles happen, but here you see a Christian who is living the form of a Christian life but not the power of it. That new Christian, it would have been better for them not to be discipled. Much of discipleship is caught as well as taught. My mother was our discipler, so was our dad. I've said this so often, but I'll never forget. It reminds me of this first verse. It was still several weeks before she died, but she couldn't talk after this last time I was with her. I can remember those flashing brown eyes. She had them. And she looked at me, Wayne, be faithful. Don't quit. A lot more was going through her mind than what she was able to get out. Burned into my soul. That's what I had been taught. Be faithful to the Lord Jesus and do not let go of the commission that God has given to you. Here he's saying, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, quit faltering as you've been faltering. You can read through the two epistles. Don't worry about the defections that are around Asia Minor with some of the believers. Don't let some of the issues in the church stop you. Go back to what brought you into the place of leadership you had in the first place. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be strengthened by grace. My friends, discipleship just gets wearing, disappointing. It can cause you to even be disillusioned if you're not walking by grace. You've got to be strengthened by grace. As Ephesians 6:10 says in that great passage on the church, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Same kind of idea. This is in the passive. God does the strengthening. Be inwardly strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, Alfred Plummer, the great expositor, said. Let God strengthen you. One commentator said, the new life is not simply a new resolve or a fresh code or ethics. It is a new relationship. It is life in a person whose resources are sufficient. Paul reminded us of this in the first chapter. It is not that we need more strength or more grace as such. We need only to live in right adjustment to our Lord, from whom alone proceeds full sufficiency of grace. That's why a younger Christian who's fully committed to God can be a discipler. Because it is the life of Christ that does the discipling, not this well-tuned instrument, though we ought to be a well-tuned instrument. Dependence upon self, now I want you to get this, a fleshly discipler will corrupt the disciple, as I've said. You've got to have a spirit-filled, Christ-life Christian to produce that life and victory in the one with whom they are working. Let me tell you right now, that's why people won't disciple. Because down deep you know it. You might like, enjoy doing little Bible studies, but if you're really going to get involved in the lives of people, it's not easy. It can get messy. It can get very, very disturbing. But when you're walking with God and you have the heart of Christ, it is the best thing in the world, because you have the privilege of doing what Christ would do and is doing in the life of that person for the sake of many others. See, that's what happens in every revival. God works. That famous story from the Welsh revival, where a newspaperman caught up with a policeman and asked him, where's the revival here occurring? And I love that. That policeman drew himself to full height and laid his hand over his heart and proudly proclaimed, gentlemen, the Welsh revival is inside this uniform. And I'm telling you, when the life of Christ gets, when you're saved and a person starts walking with God, everything changes. Folks, discipleship is revival if it's done right. It is, when we say transformational, we're talking about being transformed into the image of the Son of God, the one who reigns with all power. That is the privilege that we have. So that means we need to live out the reality of Christ's life. You notice it says, therefore, my son, be strong. Allow God to strengthen you by his free gift of his grace. But you notice the personal aspect of this, that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love that passage there in Colossians. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That was a mystery. It's the fact that it's not just a matter of truth that has come into our hearts. The great mystery that Paul talks about is the indwelling of Christ himself. I want to read what G. Hanley Moule, the godly commentator who really began to understand. He was opposed to the Christ life, and God broke him, and he got involved in a conference that changed his life, and he said, and now he cannot speak of that secret, Paul talking about Christ in us, but at once he unfolds it and translates it into nothing less than the personal indwelling Christ. What is it? It is not an idea, a principle, a watchword. It is indeed the source and reason of all noble and powerful ideas, principles, and watchwords of salvation. But in itself, it is he, it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father's love, the image of the invisible God, this firstborn over all creation and the head of the whole living church, is himself the secret. And this he is particularly in that wonderful aspect of himself. He is the indwelling presence. For me to live is Christ. Christian, little Christ. And so, folks, we can talk about discipleship till we're blue in the face. Number one, we won't do it. And if we do it, we won't be effective. And we'll get disillusioned if it's not Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the key. It's got to be. And he reminds them of that. And secondly, it's imparting the Christ life and the things that thou hast heard of me. What did Timothy hear of Paul? I'm telling you, those early apostles couldn't talk enough about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about my Savior. By the way, the most effective witnesses on planet Earth today are those that are consumed with telling people about the one they love. You got to hear about Jesus. You got to hear about what he's doing in my life today. I mean, when you're walking in power and victory and the strength of the grace of God and it's in Christ Jesus, you can't help but want others to have what you have, both in salvation, but in discipleship. Discipleship is simply bringing somebody else on board on the exciting journey of knowing Christ. Be followers of me, Paul said, as he encouraged them to become Christ's disciples. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And so to make disciples, we've got to be a disciple. That's why, by the way, we have level 3 for Christians who have been saved a while and had real victory. Not a Christian here doesn't need accountability and encouragement. We've got to keep growing. And we need to impart the reality of our relationship with Christ. The illustration of Dawson Trotman, the founder of Navigators, I think is so compelling. He's going to always be known and associated with discipleship. But it wasn't always the passion of his life. He was a great soul winner, praise the Lord. That's where it all starts. But he was driving along and he saw a young man who was going to a golf course to caddy at the golf course, and he often picked up hitchhikers for a chance to witness. So as he picked him up, the man swore in his car, so Dawson reached into his pocket for a gospel tract and handed it to him. And the man glanced at the tract and looked at Dawson and said, "Haven't I seen you somewhere before?" Dawson looked at him closely. It turned out that these two men had met on the same road the previous year. Dawson had witnessed to him, led him to Christ, and had sped him on his merry way, confident that another soul had entered the kingdom. But now a year later, no evidence. And he went back to find some others of his quote-unquote converts. He said, "I want to tell you, I was sick at heart." And he began to realize, though, of course, God can transform people even without discipleship. He realized that you introduce them to Jesus in saving faith. You teach them to live the Christ life through discipleship. And that's what this is all about. The things you've heard of me, how God's changed your life, the same commit that heard of me among many witnesses. We were all witnesses of this reality. We've been in that revival blessing. The same commit thou, entrust to faithful men. You give it to them so that they can teach others also. The four generations, Paul, Timothy, the faithful men who were able to teach others also. But the emphasis here with Timothy is get back on the ground of being a spirit-filled Christ enthusiast and see people's lives transformed. We're going to look tonight at how this goes into some practical reality. And my friends, God dealt with us a couple of weeks ago in a very firm way. Jesus spoke to us, and I'm simply following up on what he has said. This day today is committed to laying this groundwork before we come up with some idea, before we come up with some approach to reaching our community, which we will because God said so. But we've got to be committed to discipleship. But the commitment starts with walking with Christ in a serious, unhindered way by our own selfish will, surrendered to him and living that revival life. Let's bow for prayer.